He's no stranger to the people here at the creek. I asked Brother Mike Jemanski, I'm going to tell on you, brother, how long that Crooked Creek has been supporting the Hamby family. And he said, brother, it was before you lost your hair. So I'm not sure how long that's been, but it's been quite a while. So we're grateful for Brother Hamby. If you would come on up, brother, be ready to preach for us. Brother Hamby, if you don't know him, was a missionary to the Ivory Coast in West Africa. Currently is serving as assistant director at Macedonia World Baptist Mission. So, brother, thank you for being here. Appreciate your faithfulness, and come preach to us.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. I think I got it turned on, right, brother in the back? Thumbs up. Well, it's so good to be here with you today, and good to see a good number. I know you have a lot of folks on vacation traveling, but I'm glad that you're here and glad we're able to be with you, and the Lord is good. Aren't you glad we live in a country? I didn't have anybody trying to stop me from coming in. I didn't have anybody trying to assault me. Nobody's trying to threaten us this morning. But we have liberty. We have freedom. And there are a lot of places in the world that do not have this opportunity. And how sad it is that we take it for granted. But I'm so thankful to the Lord. He allowed us to be here, to be born in this country, to be, for those who maybe not have been born in the country, to be able to be in this country and to share together the blessing of the Lord. And to know that our country, like so many countries have not been, our country founded on the Word of God, the principles of the Bible. And you know, when we put the Word of God into action, into practice, it works every single time. And so we're glad to be here today. Well, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 8. John, chapter number 8. Glad to have my two grandsons. And usually when Jason is here, he will either preach or he'll give an update on his ministry up in Quebec. So I asked the boys coming over today, I said, which one of you want to get up and give a report? Well, I didn't have any takers, so I'll let them sit there and not embarrass them too badly today. But I appreciate Noah and Luke being down here. They're going to be here for about 5, 4, 5, 6 weeks or years or whatever. And just so you'll know how long the church has been supporting me, the hair is the line. That's the marker. And so you've been supporting me since I was 3 years old, okay? Because that's when I began to lose my hair. It just took a while for it to all get gone, and it's still going in the process. One of my little granddaughters, when I had her, I was holding her, and the kids were all, or it may have been Luke, I'm not sure. I wasn't holding him. He was three. Whichever one was 3 years old or so, I was holding him, and they were joking about Papa not having any hair, and they turned my head all the way around and said, see, he got hair. So I do got it. You just can't see it coming on straight on. Well, John chapter number 8, I want to share with you this morning this wonderful story. And in a way, as we begin it, it is a sad story, but it is also a commentary of the war and the struggle that there is between darkness and light, against the kingdom of Satan and God. As you see that in this context, as we read the verses of Scripture, how that they brought this woman to the Lord, who was caught in adultery, but they only brought her to Him so that they might trick Him, lay a trap for Him to see what He would say. And so, you know, today as I think about mankind in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter number 3, when Satan came and he tempted Eve and man fell as man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't necessarily that the devil was against man himself as number one target, but he was against God, the number one target. And we are instruments that the devil would use to be able to get to God. So you see that struggle even in this passage of Scripture as we begin to read through that. But I'm so glad that when we end up the story, aren't you glad that on the pages of this book we find mercy? On the pages of this book we find God's grace. And in spite of, and may I tell you that in spite of our sin, and in spite of us yielding ourselves to the devil for him to use us in his efforts to try to thwart and to take over the kingdom of God, which he will never do, by the way, aren't you glad that in spite of all that, he still loves us and he still cares for us? And so let me ask you to stand as we begin reading in John chapter number 8, verse number 1. And the context of this passage of Scripture, the Lord has gone to Jerusalem, and this is at the Feast of Tabernacles, and He's gone out of the city, and the story takes up in verse number 1, as the Lord has come from the Mount of Olives, and He says this, the Word of God says this, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And He said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And let's pray. Father, how we thank You this morning for the privilege that we have to be here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and for Pastor Jensen and his family, and for all these many, many years that this church has been in establishment and even been at this location. For this good folks that have been here, and they've stood faithful to the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, and for evangelism and all the things that we know that the church is all about. And Father, I pray now for the few moments that we have together, that we who are saved, that our attention and our hearts would be arrested in Jesus. And Father, that we might look to You. And there may be one today in our midst that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Father, would You please speak in a special way. Bless the children's churches as they're going on at this hour. And may You receive honor and glory from all that takes place. And we'll thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, when we think about this passage of Scripture, we know that this woman was accused. There was an accusation brought against her. And the problem was that it wasn't just an accusation. There are a lot of times people can be accused of something, but this woman was actually caught in the middle of her sin. And they knew that they had her dead to rights. It wasn't an empty accusation that they had, but they found her and they brought her to the Lord. And so when I see that, what a sad story that we have before us that's unfolding. And but again, like what I'm glad of is when we get to the end of these verses of Scripture, I'm glad for the end. Aren't you glad for the end when you read the Word of God and we can look in the Word of God and we know what the end of it, we know what the end of the devil's going to be. We know what our end is going to be. We're glad for the Word of God and the ending and the promises that we find in the Word of God. I want to share with you this morning, as we look through this passage of Scripture, the three thoughts found in verse number 11 that, and I'm going to give you one word for each thought, and I hope that it will be a blessing to all of us today, whether you're saved or not. You know, if you're saved, aren't you glad that there is forgiveness in Him and we have hope in Him? And I'm glad that we have a relationship with Him because of what He's done for us. So if you're saved today, I hope you can find some practical help today. If you're not saved, I hope you can find hope in the Lord. I remember as a 17-year-old, and I was that young one time, you know, 2 years ago. I'm just 19. But I remember as just out of high school, 17 years of age, and a girl from our high school, she called me up on the phone, and she invited me to go to church, to her church, and help her win a Bible during a revival meeting. And as I sat there, I wasn't there for church. I wasn't there. I didn't know the songs, didn't sing the songs. I had no part in any of it. But boy, when that preacher got up and he began to preach, the Holy Spirit arrested my heart. He arrested my heart with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of that, I am saved today because of a girl that wanted me to help her win a Bible. And so I hope today, whatever your case is, you're here. I hope that God will give you help today from the Word of God. So let me give you these three words and I'll be done. Would you look with me again, verse number 11. And she said, here's what she said. The Lord had just asked her the questions, where are thou, those thine accusers, and hath no man condemned thee? And then she says this, verse 11. She said, no man, Lord. There was nobody left. After the Lord did what he did, there was nobody left to accuse her. Now look what he said. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So I want to take the first part of that when he says, neither do I condemn thee. Here's the first word I want to give you if you want to jot it down. The first word is a glorious word called forgiven. Forgiven. You know, that is such a special word. I don't know if you've ever done anything to anyone. And you know, when you go to them and you know how you're scared and you're nervous, what's going to happen, what's going to take place. And you go to them and you ask them to forgive you. And you're weighted down with guilt, you know, for what you've done. And you go and you ask them to forgive you. And you're hesitant. You wait. What is going to be their response? What are they going to say? Are they going to, they're going to turn their back on me? Will we lose our friendship? What's going to happen? Is it over? But aren't you glad when they say, I forgive you? What glorious words. I remember for me as a 17-year-old, as I heard those words that night, I turned and left the church because I didn't want God. I didn't want anything to do with God. But I'm glad that a year and a half later, when I did come back to church, because I thought you had to be in church to be saved. But I remember when I went back to church and I walked down the aisle during the invitation, and I knelt down at an altar bench, just a little place like you have here. And I knelt down at that place. And I tell you, I'm so glad of what happened to me that day when I knew that I could come to Him. But the guilt that I had, knowing what I had done. Have you ever sinned? Have you ever done anything wrong against God? Have you ever done anything that you know displeased Him? Have you ever done anything? Did you know that we are all sinners? We all come short of the glory of God. There's not a one in this building that is perfect. And the day, it doesn't matter how old you were, how young you were, but the day that God convicted you of your sin and showed you that you were a sinner, and the day that you left your pew, or were you at home, or wherever you happened to be, the day that you went before God with your sin. Oh, let me tell you, I'm glad for this word forgiven that we find in the Word of God. But did you know there's some keys to this word forgiven? I go over to the book of Psalm chapter number 51, and David had committed a gross sin against God in committing adultery and committing murder. And he said, my sin is ever before me. That is the way sin is. Sin hounds us. Sin weighs upon us. Sin brings guilt to us, and something that we can't get rid of. Don't you wish we could get a knife and cut it off, or we could do something to take care of the load that sin brings and puts upon us, this guilt that we have? Well, David had that load of sin and he couldn't get rid of it. My sin is ever before me. But I love chapter number 51 and verse number 17, where he says in that verse of Scripture that what God is wanting is not sacrifices. He's not wanting us to bring the animals and kill them and bring the blood of these animals. He's not looking for sacrifices. He's not looking for you to crawl on your knees. He's not looking for you to go out and cut your flesh. He's not looking for you to do things that will make you feel bad and to hurt yourself. But I'm glad that what God is looking for, he says, is a broken and contrite heart that the Bible says God will not despise. He won't reject it. He won't turn away. But he said that is what he would accept. And so when I look at those words, broken and contrite heart, there is something that we need to understand. I don't just come to God and say, hey, this is a man, this is cool, this is great, I'm going to come to God. But the Word of God tells me I come to God with a broken and contrite heart. That means that I come to God in honesty. In honesty, I've got to realize who I am. And so I'm going to be honest with God and I'm going to be honest with myself. That what I'm coming for, I absolutely do not deserve. I do not deserve it. So I come to God in honesty of what I am. Because did you know when a person comes to the Lord for salvation, it is absolutely impossible for you to confess every sin that you have ever committed. because you were a little sinner in that little bed of yours as a little baby, as you're crying out and you're making your mama think that you're just dying when all you want her is for you to hold her, you little sinner. I'm telling you, you know. It is impossible for us to confess every sin we've ever committed. So what we acknowledge is what we are, that we are a sinner, that we have sinned before Him, and we're honest with ourselves because we think that we are so great and we are so cool and we are so this and we are so that, but we're nothing but sinners in the sight of a holy God. So we admit we're honest. And we come to God in our brokenness because of our sin and our contrite heart, in a repentant heart. And we're coming to God because we find out, you know what? There is not one thing that I can do to change my situation. I cannot be good enough. There's nothing that I can do to be better in myself. There's not enough leaves on every tree in the world that I can turn over. You know, I've heard people say, turn over a new leaf, just change. There's not enough leaves I can turn over because I cannot change myself. And so they bring this woman to the Lord. And I want you to know something. This woman was in trouble. She was in deep trouble. But when I look at this word forgiveness, aren't you glad when he says, neither do I condemn thee. See, they condemned her. She was judged guilty. But neither do I condemn thee. Can I tell you some things about forgiveness? Number one, can I tell you that what we have in the Lord Jesus in forgiveness, it is absolutely undeserved. Undeserved. That morning when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I came as a sinner on my way to hell as an 18-year-old, I never killed anybody. I hadn't done some of the things that other people had done, but I was just as guilty. And when I made my way and I bowed there before a holy God, I came to God, and I want you to know what He was doing for me that day was completely undeserved. When you think, and if you think, that you deserve anything from God, is the moment that you will not get anything from God. You come to God because He allows you to come in mercy and grace, and we do not deserve it. We do not deserve it. Because everything that He does in forgiveness of sin is always in spite of us. As a matter of fact, He tells us in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, He says, little children, He's talking to saved people, lest we become cocky. Little children, your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of who I am or who you are, but because of who He is. He says that this is undeserved. You know, she was coming to Him, and boy, you know what? She deserved to die because of her sin that she committed. Number one, forgiveness is undeserved. So when I came to Him that morning, I knew I did not deserve Him to forgive me because of what I had done against Him. Number two, it is unexpected. Unexpected. Look at verse number 5 for just a moment. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Such should be stoned. This forgiveness that was going to come to this woman that day was absolutely unexpected. Do you know what she was expecting to happen to her that day? She was expecting stones to start being hurled at her, and she expected that would be the last day that she would ever spend on planet Earth. She expected, the last thing that she expected for her that day was to be having shown mercy and to have forgiveness. But can I tell you, I'm so glad that it is so, so unexpected what God does for me. Because it's kind of like, you remember the story of the young man that went off and he wasted his life and he found himself amongst the pigs and he was just desiring to be fed from whatever the pigs had. That's what he wanted. You remember the story? And he said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to go back home to my father. Because the hired servants of my father's, they have bread enough and to spare. It's better off if I was just a servant of my father than to sit here amongst these pigs. So when he got up out of the pig pen and he ever worked around pigs? Anybody ever worked around pigs? Anybody? You worked around, I worked around pigs. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how much soap and water you use. I would take a bath shower. I'd scrub down, and I worked with pigs a long time. And I'd come in there, and a man, my, it almost didn't even want to use a, you know, almost didn't even want to eat when you put your hand up to your mouth. All you could smell is pig, you know. Here's this young man. His clothes, those beautiful garments that he took off and he left home down to the far country. He was the son of a rich man. And all of a sudden now he has rags and he's tattered and the stench of the pig all over him and the pig pens all over him and the smell. And he comes home and all he is expecting that day is to become a slave. To become a slave. Because here's what he said. He said, it's better off for me to be a slave with the Father than to be eating with the pigs. And that's what he expected. My Father can't forgive me. He will never forgive me. Look what I've done. I have wasted all that He gave me. I've wasted it all. I've lived a wicked life. And all I can ever expect to be is a slave to Him. Oh, but it was so unexpected. Because all of a sudden, as he's walking to the Father's house with fear of what's going to happen, fear of rejection, all of a sudden he sees his Father come running. Before he could ever get to the Father's house, I'm so glad that when I got out of that pew that morning and I made my way forward, I want you to know that before I ever knelt on my knees, he was already there waiting on me. Oh, I'm glad for the mercy and grace of God, because it is so unexpected what he does. And that Father comes out and he says, he falls on his neck and he kissed him. Man, my wife would not even touch me when I came home from working with the pigs until I took a shower. And then it was still hard for her to hug me and kiss me. Oh, but in the stench of his life, his Father fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he tells the servants to go and bring forth the best robe and put it upon him and shoes on his feet and a ring on his hand. He didn't expect to get the welcome that he got. And may I say this morning, when you come to God with that broken heart, that repentant heart, and you come in humility and honesty to God, may I tell you that you're going to get a welcome and a reception like you never thought possible. Because he is not only willing, but he's able and ready to forgive. Forgiveness. It's undeserved. It's unexpected. Go back to verse number 5 again for just a moment. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. Look at this now. But what sayest thou? See, they had already pronounced what they would do. Hey, they were getting ready. They had the stones in their hands and in their pockets. Can I tell you the third thing? Forgiveness is unconditional. But what sayest thou? We know what we say. We know what the law says. But what do you say? It's unconditional. Did you know that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are absolutely no strings attached? You ever had strings attached? Well, I'll do this, you know. Kids do this a lot. I'll do this if you do this. I'll do this if you do this. There's always strings attached. But aren't you glad the only strings attached that I find in forgiveness are the cords of love? I had never... My mom and dad are from the mountains of East Tennessee. Very unaffectionate. My dad, I was grown before I ever remember my dad telling me he loved me. Now, he loved me. He cared for us. But that just didn't show affection. I don't remember my dad ever coming up and just out of the blue, just putting his arms around my mom. Very unaffectionate. The one and only time my dad ever bought flowers for my mom, she laughed. Because she had never had flowers given to her. And she didn't know how to respond. Very unaffectionate. Oh. But the morning that I trusted Christ as my Savior, I had never experienced love like this before. Totally unconditional. Because He knew what I was. He knew what I had done. And I could come. There was no bargaining. If you do this, I'll do that. It was free. Glory, it was free.
It was full. Undeserved. Unexpected. But unconditional. Oh. Have you ever, because listen, what I'm talking about today, unless you have experienced it, you really can't explain it. Forgiven. The second word, quickly. If we'd look again in verse number 11. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Now here's my next word, is the word go. So my word, I have the word forgiven, but the second word I want to share with you is the word forgotten. Forgotten. He says to her, neither do I condemn thee, go. In other words, there was nothing else left holding her there. The men that condemned her were gone. So you can go, forgotten. I don't understand that, because in the human mind, I can never forget. Well, I take that back. Brother Dan and I were talking before Sunday school about forgetting, or after Sunday school about forgetting. But no, humans, we can't forget. But listen, if somebody does you wrong, there's a lot of things that you forget, but we just can't forget it. You know, you forgive them. You get, you know, you don't hold it against them, but just to forget. But aren't you glad that there is this word forgiven? There was nothing holding her and binding her. That which had been upon her was gone. You know, because we do have accusers. We have accusers. You know, we have accusers. People accuse us. We know that Satan accuses us. But when I look in this Bible, not only did these men accuse her, I find there in verse number 5, the law accused her. And it wasn't, you know, they talk about Moses and the law said, it was only Moses and the law said. You know whose law it was? It was God's law. God's law condemned me. God's law accused me. God's law held me guilty. God's law knew what I was. God did it. Oh. But you know the greatest of all? When you read on down through there, it's not about the woman, but if you read a few verses down below there, you know there's one other accuser that I find in these verses of Scripture. It talks about the men. The Bible says when he wrote on the ground that he says that being convicted in their conscience. You know what? We have another accuser, and that's our conscience. Our conscience. You know what I'm so glad of this morning? That God forgets. He doesn't remember my sin. Now, there's people that talk about, well, does it mean that he erases that out of his mind, or does that mean he doesn't hold it against me anymore? I don't care what it means. The Bible says he doesn't remember it against me. Can I read you what some? Let me lick my finger because of my fingers. I have to get a little grip. I'll have them wiped off by the time you shake my hand. Here's what Job said. Job 14:17. My transgression is sealed in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. The psalmist said, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed my transgressions from me. Isaiah said, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Again, the Isaiah wrote, he said, I, God speaking, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Hebrews writes, chapter 10, verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, listen, the morning that I got saved, you know what the glorious thought of everything that happened to me that morning was? Is that he cleansed me. And when I knew that he took care of it all, my conscience was taken care of too. Do I remember what I did when I was young? Absolutely. I remember the sins that I've committed. Not all of them, but a lot of them. I still don't remember crying in bed, making my mama come and get me out of the bed. But anyway. But I'm glad that he takes care of my conscience. He cleanses me. Cleanses me. And these sins are forgotten. Forgotten. The reason so many people doubt their salvation, they just can't get a hold of the fact that God has forgiven and forgotten. I don't have to come back and get saved again because they are gone. They're washed away. The blood of Christ is absolutely sufficient to forgive me, to cleanse me of my sin. The blood of Christ.
Let me give you my last word and I'm done. The last word, if you look again, verse number 11. And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go. Now here it is. And sin no more. Here's my last word, and that is the word forever. Go and sin no more. Do you know what happens when you get saved? All of a sudden, you're a brand new creature. All of a sudden, you get a life like you never had before. You try and you try and you try, but you never can do better. But in Christ Jesus, it is a forever thing that now you have the person of the Holy Spirit living in you, enabling you to go forward and do great things for God, to live for God, and to have a forgiven life, a cleansed life, a clean life. And it is totally, totally, totally forever great. Listen to this. Let me give you a couple things. Number one, when this forgiveness and this pardon, all that He's done for me, you know, and this word forever, think about the power of the Lord's word, of the Savior's word for divine pardon. You remember the story of Elisha, and here was a man by the name of Haman that, my brain just went frozen. What was his name? Elisha, and he came to Elisha to be cleansed of his leprosy. Haman the leper. I did have it right, didn't I? Naaman the leper. Did have it wrong. Anyway, he comes to Elisha. And remember the story. Brother Dan, that's the problem with old age. You can't remember anything. Remember the story, what Elisha had him do? Elisha said, if you want to be cleansed, you got to go down to the brook, or down to the Jordan River, and you got to dip seven times that old dirty Jordan River. And there's other things that people had to do in the Old Testament. They had to do this, had to do that, go here, go there, whatever. But here, in this patches of Scripture, you don't find the Lord doing anything or telling her to do anything. Here's all He did was, He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Can you imagine the power of His Word? Did you know that there is power in this Word? Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for my effort is the power of God. No. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Aren't you amazed and aren't you glad that we live in a time when we don't have to do anything, but He does it all? He came and died on the cross. He shed His blood, everything He did. And then He gives us the Word of God. And the Word of God, if I will just believe His Word, trust His Word, His Word is sufficient. His Word is sufficient. His Word is power. And it is a divine, eternal pardon. And I am now justified in Him. Divinely justified. It didn't matter what these guys thought. It didn't matter what anybody else thought. It's what He thinks. And it's what He knows. It's what He does that matters in my life. Because if you look at this story, the Lord was sitting there, He was sitting there teaching in the temple. He's teaching. Here's a crowd of people all around about Him. Here comes this group of scribes and Pharisees. Here they're dragging this woman in, and they throw her right down in the middle of all these people. But when He got done with it, here was no man. No man is accused. There's nobody. Nobody. There is nobody but her and the Lord. Because when He did it, He was taken care of. Doesn't matter what they think. Doesn't matter what they say. It's what He has done in your life. What He's done in your life. Now, we have the power of the Savior's words for a divine pardon. But let me tell you something, what else we have. Because there may be somebody in this building this morning. You're saved. You know you're saved. But I'm glad for another verse of Scripture that we have in the Word of God. And that's found in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. The Word of God says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And He's talking to the child of God because we're not perfect even after we're saved. But I'm glad that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we will never have that salvation experience again. That is a one-time thing when I come and get saved. But can I tell you, I can always have that cleansing by the power of Christ through His blood that I receive every time I come and confess. And so here's my second thought. When I talk about forever, the possibility
of a second chance. Can I ask a question this morning? If you're not embarrassed today, would you raise your hand if God has ever given you a second chance after you sinned? Ooh. A second chance. Every time we sin, and every time we come and confess, may I tell you this morning, it is a second chance, or a third, or a fourth, or a fifth. Go and sin no more. What a Savior that is ever there for us to help us even after we're saved. What a Savior. That unconditional love that was there the morning I got saved is still just as unconditional. Because He doesn't categorize sin, we do. A white lie, a black lie, a big sin, a little sin. But it was my sin that nailed Him to the cross. My sin that placed the crown of thorns on His head. My sin that drove the spear in His side. My sin that put the stripes on His back. My sin that spat in His face. My sin that plucked the beard from His face. My sin that mocked Him. My sin. But it's unconditional love. I close with this. I was reading from a writer about this passage of Scripture. And he made this statement. There have been more books written about Him, about the Lord Jesus, good and bad, pro and con, than any other man that has ever lived in history. Did you know that? More books about Him written than any other man. But this is the only record in Scripture during His earthly ministry that He ever wrote anything down. He never, no other place you'll find in the Gospels where He ever wrote anything. But think about it for just a moment. He stooped down, the Bible says. But what sayest thou? What do you say? The Bible says that He stooped down and began to write on the ground. What did He write? There's a passage of Scripture that goes to the book of Jeremiah that says that the names of those who forsook Him shall be written in the earth. Could it be that He began to write their names? Now wait just a second. She was just as guilty as they said she was and more. So He would write her name in the sand and the dirt. He would write their names. He would write Lori's name. He would write my name. He would write your name. All of our names would have been written that day. I don't know what He wrote, but could it be that He wrote names? But would you look for just a moment? The Bible says He stooped down and He wrote on the ground. Did you know that because He wrote it in dirt, that the wind would erase it? Would erase it forever? Oh, but that day, in their minds, it was there to stay. They were guilty. And they were guilty. She was guilty. But He was, when he stood up, they were all gone. But think about it. She was the only one there. And what did she do? She received His forgiveness. Did you know that every one of them could have received the same forgiveness? But they turned around and walked away. The sands of time have erased what He wrote in the ground. We'll never know what He wrote. But it would be forever in the minds of those that saw it. Forever. and it is my mind, it is in my heart, that I was a sinner against the Holy God. August the 1st, 1971. Brother Christian, right where you're sitting, I got up and I left my pew because it was written in my heart, I was a sinner, condemned. And I knelt. And there was no one left to condemn me. Because He forgave me. And He forgot me again. And it is forever, forever, ever, forever, and forever, and forever. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. They come with a song this morning. May I tell you this morning, all of the religions of the world, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, all the religions of the world say you've got to do something. This is the only message where He did it all. He did it all. And all I got to do is come to Him in free salvation. And this morning we're going to have a song. And if you have a need today to come and receive Christ as your Savior, I would beg you today, I would implore you today to come. And there'll be somebody here to help you today, to share with you the gospel through the Word of God.